Over the last few episodes of The Altar of Time, we've seen richly made textiles, incense boards, and holy water containers, among many other objects. But even among these, the monstrance stands out. These uniquely ostentatious objects represent one of the most dramatic ideas in all of Christianity, the doctrine of transubstantiation, by which the body and presence of Jesus Christ have continued to be experienced and revered by countless generations of worshippers. Welcome to the Altar of Time, a history of India's Christian art. My name is Anirudh Kanasetti. Monstrance or ostentorium is a vessel in which the sacramental bread is carried in processions and is displayed during certain devotional ceremonies. Both terms, monstrance and ostentorium, are derived from Latin words monstrare and ostendere that mean to show. First used in France and Germany in the 14th century, monstrances were modeled after pyxes or reliquaries, which were sacred vessels used for transporting relics such as the mortal remains or belongings of saints. They were used to display consecrated wafers, which in Catholicism are held to represent the body of Jesus Christ. The wafers were shown in a glass cylinder, mounted on a base and surmounted by some sort of metal crown. In the 16th century, around the same time that the Portuguese discovered this hero to India, the monstrance took its present shape. A circular pane of glass set in a cross or surrounded with metal rays. The consecrated wafers, also known as the host, are placed in a holder called a lunette, which fits into an opening behind the glass. It's natural to wonder how precisely a wafer can represent the body of Jesus Christ. To understand this, we need to go back to the Fourth Lateran Council, a great coming together of nearly 1,200 bishops, priests and diplomats in Rome in the 13th century. Christians believe that on the night before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion by the Romans, he ate bread and drank wine with his disciples. This meal that they had is called the Last Supper. Christ is supposed to have referred to the bread as his body and the wine as his blood poured out in a covenant with humanity. Nearly 1300 years later, in the city of Rome itself, which was now Christian, the Lateran Council declared that by repeating this prayer and through the action of the Holy Spirit, the whole substance of bread and wine at the altar is changed into the whole substance of the body and blood of Christ, respectively. The consecrated bread often takes the form of small discs or wafers, known today as the host wafer. Interestingly, the Catholic Church also believes that Jesus Christ is not just present in the host wafer, but also in any place where the wafer is stored or preserved. So, if you visited a church recently, you might have noticed the air of respectful solemnity within it, coupled with rituals such as avoiding turning one's back to the altar, genuflecting, or dropping to one's knee while crossing the altar, and so on. This is all because of the belief that Jesus Christ is also, in a very real sense, present within the church. And since he's present within the host wafer, also known as the Eucharist, he can be adored directly by worshippers. This host is usually stored in an ornamented vessel known as the monstrance. In this episode, we're going to skirt past the ornate, bejeweled, and eye-catching monstrances in the Museum of Christian Arts collection to look instead at a 17th century polychrome and gilt painting of a monstrance. Painted on and framed in wood, the use of ochre and an earthy color palette gives this piece a warm, glowing feel, whether this is the result of the fading of the pigment over the centuries, or of multiple layers of varnish over years of use and refurbishment, is unclear. But this painting definitely has a certain fiery, smoldering visual quality. What it represents, though, offers us an insight into the seemingly strange iconography and visual techniques of 17th century Indo-European artists. The composition of this painting is very curious. At its center is a slab-like monstrance supported from the base by angels and seraphim. All around the monstrance, in a garland or halo-like fashion, are the heads of angels with wings attached to them. All of them have their gaze riveted to the monstrance. What's somewhat peculiar about this monstrance is that its base curves outwards, which would have made it impossible for it to stand on a flat surface if it was not supported by the angel's hands. This monstrance itself is a spectacular object, which you can see on our website linked in the description. Its upper half appears like the facade of a church or an altar, with the central niche occupied by a simple half-moon-shaped reliquary against a red background. Coiled pillars support it on either side. Each of its tiers decreases in size, creating a sharp pyramidal shape similar to the gopurams, gateways and towers of contemporary and earlier temples in southern India. Its lower half is similar to a chalice with a bell suspended from its side, a feature it shares with other chalices and monstrances in the Museum of Christian Arts collection. The entire monstrance is made up of multiple heavily ornamented layers or tiers, typical of the colonial Portuguese Baroque aesthetic. Each half also represents an important part of the Catholic way of life. The chalice represents the consumption of the sacramental body of Christ, and the facade of the church symbolizes the importance of churches in Christian community life. Perhaps this strange painting is meant to remind the viewer that both are important for a complete faith experience. It's possible that this painting was commissioned to be displayed at eye level. The base of the monstrance and the angels near it are larger and more detailed, making the viewer feel as if they are closer to it, while the upper portions and the angels near it are smaller and have fewer well-defined details, creating an illusion or sense of height. These methods were used extensively in European art at the time and would gradually percolate into Indian art over the centuries through artistic interactions and, of course, colonialism. The artist of this work has also created a sense of depth by using consecutive layers of framing in his composition. The large wooden frame of the painting is gilded with gold and is cut on the corners. The frame is carved with strings of flowers and pearls. Billowing clouds in soft, warm colors, together with angels flanking the corners, create an outer orbit. An inner halo of angelic heads adore the monstrance, borne aloft by more angels descending in flight. The monstrance, in turn, also forms an outer frame for the simple half-moon-shaped container with the consecrated host. Why did the artist put so much effort into composing the painting this way? We can only guess, but it is possible that they intended to create a sense of dynamism and movement within the painting. It seems as though the body of Christ, contained in the monstrance, towers over the viewer and advances toward them from the glowing heavens. The viewer gazes upon the Lord in the monstrance, almost a darshan of sorts. Meanwhile, the layering and framing also remind the viewer to look into oneself for the same sacred presence. In the larger Catholic tradition, the consecrated host is usually kept hidden in the privacy of a space called the tabernacle, or exposed for public veneration through the ornamented frame of the monstrance. We'll explore these objects and ideas further in another episode of this podcast. What then was the purpose of this strange, elaborate, masterfully worked painting? What walls would it have adorned? And who was the intended audience? Who was the patron? And what did the artist really imagine when they envisioned this piece? We might not know all the answers, but in the altar of time, the fascinating and still mysterious objects of Indo-Portuguese Christianity continue to provoke us to think and dream about their strange, long-forgotten world.